I wanted to share a couple thoughts with you, and I wanted to start by sharing a story that I saw this week. For Stella Thornhope, it was her first Christmas alone after her husband had passed of cancer a few months before. On top of that, she was snowed in. She felt so alone and had decided not to decorate for Christmas. Later that afternoon, their doorbell rang, and there was a delivery man with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope." She nodded. "Would you please sign here?" She invited him to step inside and get out of the cold. She signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" He opened the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. And he said, "This is for you. He's 6 weeks old, and he's completely housebroken." "Who sent this?" she asked. He put the puppy down and handed her an envelope. "Madam, the dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." And he handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." She said, "Who sent me this puppy?" "Your husband did, madam. Merry Christmas." Then he left. She opened the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he had passed and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement. He vowed he was waiting for her one day when she would join him. He sent her this puppy to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and she picked up the furry golden ball of puppy. She looked out the window at the lights of her neighborhood, and she heard the radio in the kitchen playing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Suddenly, she felt a sense of peace wash over her. She had a joy greater than the grief and the loneliness. And she said to the little puppy, "Well, fella, it's just you and me. And there's a box in the basement with a small Christmas tree and the decorations and lights, and I think you'd like to see that." Well, one of the most consistent messages that we find in the Bible is the fact that no matter what is happening in our lives, God is always with us. In the New Testament, God promised Moses and the people of Israel that he would not leave them. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." For us in the New Testament, as followers of Jesus, we find the same promises in God's word for us as well. Romans 8:38 and 39 says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." See, the narrative of Christmas is yet another example of something that God has been reminding us of since the very beginning. We are never alone. See, long before the Messiah King was born in a manger, we read this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's a familiar one if you've ever celebrated Christmas. It says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Well, we quote this verse often during the Christmas season, but when it was originally given by the prophet Isaiah, it was not given about the Messiah. In fact, it had a completely different context altogether. It had an important purpose in Isaiah's time as well. King Ahaz was the king and ruler of the land of Judah, and the person that Isaiah was originally talking to in this passage. And for King Ahaz, it was a desperate time. The nation of Aram had joined forces with the northern king of Israel, and they were about to attack Judah. They were outnumbered. They were flanked on either side by multiple enemies. On top of that, the world power Assyria was gaining strength and threatening the entire region. they could have conquered Judah at any time. And King Ahaz was struggling to continue to follow God with all these things stacked up against him. As a result, God sends the prophet Isaiah with a message and a sign to Ahaz. And his purpose was simple, to remind the king, I am with you. It doesn't matter if you have one enemy, three enemies, or 100 enemies. I have promised to stand by your side, and I will continue to do so. Over 400 years later, the nation of Israel is now controlled by the Roman Empire. And many Jews began to wonder if God had forgotten them as they continued to wait for the fulfillment and the promise that Isaiah had made about a future Messiah as well. In a small town, to an unknown woman, God reiterated the promise that he had made to King Ahaz in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when he said to Mary, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God did not promise a new government. He didn't promise an independent nation or freedom from difficulty. None of that was God's promise to Ahaz. It wasn't God's promise to Mary. He didn't promise to make all the wrongs in life right. What did he promise? He said, I promise to be with you. I promise to walk with you through the difficulty, walk with you through the struggle, to be there and to provide. Once again, he made the same promise to Mary that he made to King Ahaz many years before, simply that he would be with us. Like Ahaz, the people of Roman-controlled Israel wondered where God had gone. And we live in a world of political and social unrest, finances that are stretched further than we can remember, and a sense of uneasiness that lingers with us. But the answer to our issues today are exactly the same as they were for King Ahaz and exactly as they were for Mary. God is with us. We have and continue to have a Savior who understands who we are and what we need most. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 say this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Christmas, it's in Jesus' own name, Emmanuel. It means that God is with us. He understands who we are, and he gave us exactly what we need. The sign on the door said, puppies for sale. Sorry, I only have dog stories tonight, okay? And they're puppies, okay? So it's Christmas time, so it's super cuddly. The sign on the door said, puppies for sale. And so the little boy went inside to look. The man inside the pet shop showed him five little puppies who were ready to leave their mother. They were about the cutest dogs the little boy had ever seen. How much are they? Said the little boy excitedly. The man said, some are $50, some more than that. The little boy reached into his pocket and pulled out some change. And after counting it, he said, I have $1.47. Well, I'm afraid I can't sell you one of these puppies for $1.47, little boy. You have to save up your money and come back when we have more puppies for sale. About that time, the pet store owner's wife brought out another puppy that was hidden in the back of the store. It was smaller than the other puppies, and it had a very bad leg. It couldn't stand up very well, and when it tried to walk, it limped very badly. What's wrong with that puppy? Asked the little boy. The pet store owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the puppy and discovered that it didn't have a hip socket. It would always have a limp. It would never be able to run and play. "Oh, I wish I had the money to buy that puppy," said the little boy with excitement. "That's the puppy I would choose." "Well, that puppy is not for sale, son. But if you really want him, I can just give him to you free of charge." But the little boy got quite upset at this. He looked straight at the pet owner and said, "No, I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as the other dogs you have for sale. I'll give you $1.47 now, and I'll give you 50 cents every month until I have paid for that dog in full." The pet owner was perplexed. "You don't really want to spend your money on this little dog, son. He'll never be able to run and play with you like the other puppies." Then the little boy reached down. He rolled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted and crippled left leg, supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the pet store owner and said, "Mister, I don't run and play too good myself. I figure this little puppy is going to need someone who understands." And that right there is the story of Christmas. We have a Savior who understands. He's always understood. This life is hard. We go through difficulties and struggles. We feel lost and alone and hurt. We pretend like everything's okay, but some days it's just not. And we have a God. We have a Savior who understands. Why? Because he came to this earth to understand. He loved us so much that he left heaven and took on human flesh. Why? Because he loved us. Because God is with us. At its heart, the message of the gospel is simply this: you are not alone. The Bible is clear. Left to ourselves, if we were by ourselves, we all face the same situation. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sins is death. If we were by ourselves, we all write ourselves the exact same story. We would all separate ourselves from God. But while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why do we exchange gifts at Christmas time? Because that's exactly what God did for us. He sent the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever receives it and believes it will have everlasting life. The Bible says yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. The Bible says when we believe in Jesus Christ, what happens to us? Yeah, we get saved. Yes, we have eternal life. We also become part of the family of God, a place where we are never alone. This is the message of Christmas. This is why we celebrate. This is why we hang the lights. This is why we almost burn down churches. Because we're never alone. We have a God who loves us, and he demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to reflect on your word, to be reminded of your goodness and grace, and to be reminded no matter what is happening in our lives, whether this has been the best year or maybe the most difficult, we never walk through it alone, and we never have to. You never leave us nor forsake us. Your grace is forever. Thank you, Lord, for giving us what we do not deserve, what we cannot earn, only given by your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.